On today's show, we are going to be talking about all things Spider-Man Homecoming, spoilers and all. Stay tuned for the music here on Graphic Content.
Stay a while and listen.
He called you a cowboy.
What in Sam Hill?
What did he mean? What are you?
I'm the Abomination, the strongest mutant of all.
Know this, swimming bird.
Let's face it, this is not the worst thing you've got me done.
This blue eye perceives all things conjoined.
I don't care much for the word impregnable.
The past.
Sounds a bit too much like unsinkable.
The future.
What's wrong with unsinkable? Nothing.
And the present.
As the iceberg said to the Titanic.
Trap, how's life? He seems nice.
Wasn't all of the equipment.
Please.
I've seen its true face.
What's going on here?
Survival, Captain. Plain and simple.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
And we're back with episode 23 of the Graphic Content Podcast. My name is Jim, and Adam is nowhere to be found right now. I would say he was on assignment, but...
He's on a milk back of a milk bottle or something.
Back of milk bottle.
Oh, you have too dark. Too dark.
Too dark. It's already got off the rails. So you might remember this voice. He was on our Father's Day special a couple episodes ago. Mr. Chris Weiler is joining me in the studio today.
Hey, I'm back.
He is back, and so am I. And we are here to talk about our review for Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes.
I had to get that extra beat in there because I just love this movie.
It was very enjoyable. I went into the movie with a bit of spider fatigue.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of spider stuff the last couple of years.
A lot of spider movies.
And it didn't really...
Not always good.
The Amazing was the... Should have been retitled the Not-So-Amazing Spider-Man. Even though the first one by Mark Webb wasn't so bad.
No.
It wasn't so bad. But the one with Jamie Foxx as Electro... Dude.
Ooh, that was the sorely lacking Spider-Man.
That was just a mess. I mean, that was a mess on Batman and Robin proportions, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it, and in this modern age of superhero movies, I didn't think that that was possible, but yet here we are. So, but we're not there anymore, thanks to Kevin Feige and Amy Pascal from Sony coming together, joining forces, letting Peter into the MCU, to be coached by the likes of Robert Downey Jr. and Jon Favreau in this movie. We're going to get into all of that in just a second, but just to kind of set up the format, as we always do for our review episodes, we like to start off with what we liked about the show. Then we talk a little bit about what could have been better. I don't like to say dislike, because dislike is such a strong word.
Right.
There will be movies, I'm sure, in the future that this show will review that we will say...
Strong dislike.
This is strong dislike. This movie sucked, but Spider-Man Homecoming is not one of those. So things that we think could have been better. And then we're going to wrap it up with our abnormal scaling system of 1 to 5, but we have to pick what the hell we're going to do. Now, we talked a little bit of off-air. We were talking, it would be easy to do 1 to 5 webs.
Yeah.
For Spider-Man. We had the suggestion, my wife said arachnids, you know, and I don't,
you know,
it's like
works
spiders.
Works with the theme.
Words, you know, sticking to the theme, sticking, web, spider, heck, yeah. Anyway, we could do dronies.
Yes. If you haven't seen the movie, Droney is a thing. Character.
And
it's not really a spoiler.
And as we said in the cold open before we brought back the music to the original Graphic Content from back in the day, you know, we're going to be talking all things spoilers with Spider-Man. So the first question I have for you is, have you seen Spider-Man Homecoming yet? My second question is if not, what the hell are you doing listening to this podcast?
Waiting in line.
Just trust me, the movie is good. Go see it. Then put this on pause, go see the movie, then listen to this podcast. I mean, that sounds like a plan, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a fair ask. Otherwise, if you don't give a shit, then just feel free to listen. We need the clicks, so I'm going to say good. Go for it.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do, Chris? Are we going to do webs? Are we going to do dronies, which sounds too close to bronies for me?
Bronies, ah.
You know, you had mentioned spider clones, and I
think spider clones. I mean, has there been five spider clones? I think there has.
I want to say there has been, but it's been so many years. So many, many years. Many painful years. And Marvel, in their infinite wisdom, is bringing Ben Reilly back. So, because we haven't had enough of the Scarlet Spider.
Mm. What about Kane? There was Kane.
There was Kane.
There was.
There was the Scarlet Spider.
That's the two that I remember. Ben Reilly and
God,
Kane.
I can't. And there was like all kinds of clones.
Yeah.
Well, and then it's what. The Jackal did to him that gave him the six arms and
right.
all that crazy shit. So there's six arm Spider-Man. And I don't know. I think it's just best to keep moving forward.
Yes, yes. You Let's know? Forget the clone past.
How about web heads? You know, like the holographic web head logo that he still doesn't know what it's
for.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, okay.
You know, which I think is dope. I mean, it's very evocative of the old school John Romita Sr. days on the title.
Yeah.
Okay, so 1 to 5 web heads. That's what we're going to do.
Very good.
Okay, so now with that important business out of the way, Chris, let's start with you. What are some of the things that you liked about Spider-Man Homecoming? And this is a section where it's okay to gush.
Ah, okay. Well, yes. Like I had said earlier, I was really having spider fatigue going into the movie. I was kind of like, oh, man, how many times are we going to have to see the origin of Spider-Man retold? And thankfully, it was not.
I know. We've killed Uncle Ben enough at this point. You know, between Cliff Robertson and Martin Sheen, I think we're good.
Right.
You know, we did need to get another older Hollywood actor. Like, who would it be at this time? James Woods? Peter, oh, with great power comes great responsibility. Oh, my guts.
What's his name from Breaking Bad?
Oh, yeah. We could have had Bryan Cranston as Uncle Ben.
There we go.
Him and Marissa Tomei would make a handsome couple.
Yeah, very.
I think so. So I'm glad we didn't do that.
Yes, yes. You know? Actually, what I was glad about is how well integrated Sony put it back into the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, you had footage, you had actors crossing over from the other studio.
Absolutely. I mean, just the first, you know, if you take the first 5 minutes of the film, I thought was fantastic because it started with a title card of a film by Peter Parker, and it was him doing cell phone video of his entire journey from the point when Happy Hogan picks him up at his apartment in Queens to his trip in Berlin to the fight at the airport in Captain America Civil War.
And he's just like going completely bonkers.
I know.
With glee that, hey, I'm going to see Tony Stark right now.
Right
now. Oh my God, I'm going to be fighting Captain America.
I took his shield and it's great. With the exuberance of a typical 15-year-old kid with superpowers.
Yes.
I thought that was another, just what an awesome way to start the film.
It brought back a lot of the comedy that you think of with young Peter Parker.
Yes. Very nerdy, very
excitable,
not worldly, fun. You know, just he's kind of naive, you know, to the ways of the world. And Jon Favreau's portrayal of Happy Hogan in his complete deadpan that we've seen since the first Iron Man, just like, come on, kid, come on, calm down.
Chill out a bit.
You know, it was just, I really love Jon Favreau in this movie. I think one of the things that I loved about it, just, and we can go back and forth on this piece a little bit, is that the marketing made me worry that it was going to be a Spider-Man movie starring Robert Downey Jr.
Mm.
You know, there was a lot of Iron Man in the marketing for this film, and I think there was a reason for that.
Yeah.
I think that Marvel Studios and Sony Columbia, whatever, they both really wanted to put the stamp of the Marvel Cinematic Universe on this film. They wanted this to be in the same place where Guardians of the Galaxy takes place, in the same place where the Avengers and Iron Man and Ant-Man and Doctor Strange. And
oh, definitely.
You know, and just real quick, how dope was that Black Panther trailer beforehand?
It was pretty good. I was a little bit stunned. I mean, we had a lot of trailers.
Yeah, Yeah, we had a Justice League trailer.
We could even just talk about the trailers.
I mean, the
good lord,
there was like 10 trailers, I think, before this
it
film.
It felt like 30 minutes before we saw the movie.
Honestly, I think I went through a third of my bag of popcorn, and I get the big boy jumbo-sized popcorn every single time. But I felt like this was completely Tom Holland's movie.
Mm.
That this kid from Britain, who, when you hear him talk, is so British.
Yeah.
So very, very British. But he gets Peter Parker, and he is such a talented young actor to be able to translate that Queen's accent.
Yes.
And his wild-eyed exuberance at one point being Spider-Man and actually being called in as a member of the Avengers for a minute, and then go down to just the complete letdown that high school is in that sort of John Hughesian kind of way, and how he was able to play that entire range there. I could not stop loving that movie. And that's not something you could do if RDJ was in every single scene in the movie. It would be RDJ plus Tom Holland. You know, right. It wouldn't be his movie. And they used Tony Stark appropriately throughout this film, I thought. I don't know. What do you think about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, actually, I thought Tony Stark's appearances wasn't too heavy. In fact, it was kind of fun when the first time he appeared as Iron Man.
Yep.
It wasn't him.
Yeah, he wasn't even in the suit.
It was just Iron Man robot.
He was at a wedding in India and wanted to make sure that he had good Wi-Fi. Or he was glad that he had good Wi-Fi so he could pilot the suit via his glasses. I don't know, what do you call that? Stark glass or something?
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And they had it like, it was extremely subtle, but in his glasses you could see like some kind of computer heads up thing. And but he was definitely Iron Man in mm-hmm. that. And it's funny because I think Iron Man has kind of grown a little bit since we first saw him as a superhero, where he is now the establishment superhero.
You would say he's sort of the lead.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's in the role that when Chris and I were growing up, I mean, it was Captain America that was essentially, even if he wasn't the elected chairman of the Avengers, he was the guy who led them.
He was the face of the Avengers.
He was the face. I mean, he was Mr. Avenger. Captain America, Mr. Avenger.
And now he's reduced to doing PSAs.
And what great PSAs they were.
That's painful.
First of all, they brought back that ultra-slimming costume that he wore in the first Avengers movie. But anyway, having Captain America in this series of PSAs just after he was, thawed from the ice.
Yeah.
He probably thought that's what he was supposed to do because that's what he was doing.
Well, and how did you like one of the PE teachers is like, well, I'm not sure if he's a war criminal now, but you still have to do the exercises and watch the video, and then we'll get some exercises.
That was such a great thing. I mean, the fact of the matter is he is a wanted criminal, pretty much. I mean, he broke the Avengers out of the raft at the end of Captain America: Civil War. So to have that reference in there. This is what makes the Marvel Cinematic Universe work for me, is to have those little interconnective pieces there. What was another thing that you liked about the movie?
Another thing that I really liked, so there was a real attention to damage.
Yeah, well,
there was a lot of things going on, and, bystanders didn't get, ran over. But
no, this wasn't a DCEU movie.
Yeah,
so
they did make a point of, hey, there's serious damage going on. And what really surprised me is they brought back Damage Control Incorporated.
Yeah. But this time it was a division of the Department of Homeland Security.
Yes.
Headed up by Cagney and Lacey's Tyne Daly.
I saw that. I noticed that. I was like, oh, Tyne Daly.
She
nice.
Looks great, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And I know that she is a character from Damage Control. I just can't remember which one because it's been years since I've read that thing.
Yeah.
I think that was a Dwayne McDuffie joint from way back in the day.
Was that like an early 90s comic series?
Oh, I think it was
did it last more than 12
issues? I think
it
was more like mid-80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe. It was. And of course, the Department of Damage Control, or the DODC, as they called it, was basically founded as the government's response to superhero destruction, as co-founded by Tony Stark.
Right.
And that had an interesting thing. Tell the kids a little bit about that.
Well, the interesting thing is that that sort of caused our villain's reason to become a villain.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean,
Michael Caine and Michael Caine.
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton. Holy
God. How different would the vulture have been if it was Michael Caine?
I'm going to eat your face, Spider-Man.
Pedro. Now, so Michael Keaton, who did an amazing job, not only as Batman.
No, I mean, this guy.
I mean, reaching back.
If you go back
he's
to.
He's a good, actor.
Released on my birthday, June 19th, 1989. It was my 20th birthday, and we all went to go see Batman.
Shut the funk up.
It was that long ago. That shit was 28 years ago.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And damn, you know, and I would dare say that this was, I mean, yeah, I thought Michael Keaton was great in the original Batman movie. He was obviously phenomenal in Birdman.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was great in that Ron Howard thing from the early 90s, The Paper. And he's been in.
He was great as Ray Kroc.
He was, in The Founder. People. Right? And then he did the other, what was the newspaper movie that was nominated? Spotlight.
Oh, okay.
You know, about the section of the Boston Globe that their investigative news unit that investigated the Roman Catholic sex abuse scandal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I thought he was so subtle and so awesome in that. And this is a guy who's just been doing roles. Like, he's kind of made his comeback after Birdman. You know, he took some time off and just to be a good dad, which was awesome. And then he's like, I just turned 60. I'm going to start acting again. Good for you, man. And in this role, Michael Keaton could not stop. I mean, he was like a freight train, this guy. I mean, there was a true art to this character that I don't think a lot of actors could have pulled off.
Yeah. He wasn't chewing up the scenery.
No. No.
He was doing a really good performance.
His whole motivation.
Solid performance.
Solid performance. I think it's safe to say that his whole motivation was not just to rob banks.
No.
It wasn't about that. It was about the fact that Damage Control moved in on a contract that he got legitimately through the city of New York. And this whole Damage Control thing, which to me sounds like a front for S.H.I.E.L.D. or secret right. front of S.H.I.E.L.D., whatever. You know, Damage Control screws him out of his contract. He's potentially going to lose millions of dollars, overextended himself.
Going to be bankrupt.
But there was that one load that they didn't drop off at the dump full of the Chitauri technology. And what do him and his boys do? They make weapons. And they start, you know, scouring the countryside for
scavenging technology,
alien technology, I guess Kree technology, Chitauri technology,
Ultron. They mentioned he had Ultron technology.
And there was the heist of the one semi truck headed for Maryland, and he pulled out an Ultron head that was just sitting around like, what the fuck? It's fucking Ultron. Let's hope they scrub the hard drive on that guy.
Oh,
but it was just. You know, I want to say that everything was about his family and that, yeah, he was going to do anything. And you can, you know, I think there's a lot of fathers and who are out there who would say, I'd do anything.
For my family.
For my family.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot of fathers that would be willing to kill other people
right.
to feed his family. And he didn't just feed his family. I mean, his family was doing
really. They were doing well.
They were doing
quite well.
Very well.
But much like the original Vulture character from the comic book, you know, probably wouldn't have been a villain if he hadn't been screwed out of his business.
That's right. That's right. And they really kept that part, but they gave him kind of a blue collar edge to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they seeded it with so many Easter eggs there.
Oh, geez.
So we had both versions of the Shocker.
Yeah.
that made their debut. I won't say what happened to the first one, but let's just say it didn't end well for him. So we had two versions of the Shocker. We had Phineas Mason, a.k.a. the Tinkerer, and that was great. And then on the Staten Island Ferry, he was supposed to do a deal with a guy named Mac Gargan.
Yes.
Who is the secret identity for the
Scorpion.
For Scorpion, which is great. We had Donald Glover give a dope as fuck performance as Aaron Lewis, a.k.a. the Prowler.
Yeah, the Prowler.
And what was neat about that one is that it his rap sheet that Parker's friend Ned pulled up showed that he was called the Prowler by NYPD.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
I didn't catch that. Now, what I did remember, though, is he mentioned something about his nephew.
Yeah.
His nephew,
Miles Morales. Aha! That means, Tom Holland, your contract better be ironclad, because otherwise you're fucked. No, I'm kidding. But
let's see. We also had Ned slash Gonky.
Yeah, yeah, from the Ultimate Comics.
And what makes you wonder is he supposed to be Ned Leeds? You know, Peter's
right.
old rival,
right?
Or is he supposed to be Gonky? Or
probably
know.
More the Gonky.
I think so.
You know, just because he's kind of doofus like,
right.
And
but
good nature.
Wouldn't it be interesting if he was? Like Ned Leeds going to become the Hobgoblin.
Right. Yeah. You know, maybe something happens down the road with this kid.
Little brain control.
Or something along the... who knows? You know, I think it would be good if they just stay away from anything Osborn for several films. I think we're Osborned out.
Yeah,
as
spider fatigue.
Look, as cool as I think the Green Goblin is, and I think the Green Goblin is really one of the greatest supervillains of all time... Just like I don't want to see another iteration of the Joker for a while, I think we're done with the Green Goblin, especially
yeah.
after The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I mean, we just can't have that anymore. So
right.
Let's pray that the gods over at Sony bring us new stuff. I want to see like Jack-O-Lantern. I want to see Kraven the Hunter. I mean, they signed Tom Hardy to play Venom. For all we know, I mean, God only knows what they're going to do with that. There's so many different ways that they can go separate from the Marvel universe. I just want to see some of those characters be able to intersect with the Tom Holland Spider-Man. I mean, Kraven's Last Hunt is possibly
an awesome series.
It's still available in trade paperback. If you're a Spider-Man fan that has not read Kraven's Last Hunt, that is absolutely one of the must-read Spider-Man comics, regardless of era. I forget who did the art on it, but I know it was J.M. DeMatteis who wrote it. It wasn't Mike Zeck. I can't remember, but it was one of the old school guys.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to read that. So, yeah, I'm definitely with you on that, Chris. You know, one of the things that I loved about the movie, and we can gush about this forever, but I love the fact that it actually was filmed in Queens.
Mm.
Not all of it was filmed in Queens. Obviously, Marvel has their studio complex in Atlanta, Georgia. They did some shooting in New South Wales, I think.
Yeah, I saw Australia at the
Australia
end
was,
a,
you know,
shooting site.
And all that's done for global tax purposes and things like that. But they actually did plenty of exterior shots in Queens, which is not cheap to do in any borough of New York City. And you got the feel when he walked into, Gordo's Deli?
Yes.
You know, that was a corner bodega.
A bodega.
That was actually in Queens. And you had that feeling. I mean, it just felt like New York City. They took enough establishing photography of that. They had Tom Holland in Queens enough to make it feel like it was in New York the entire time of that film. I just loved it. I just absolutely loved it. I love so much about this damn movie. I love Marissa Tomei as a slight, you know, they gave her more time as Aunt May in this. And you find out Aunt May, she might be a little different, you know, I don't know.
Not your typical Aunt May. Your 1950s
which
Aunt May.
Which kind of like the Ultimate Comics Spider-Man Aunt May, you know, where, you know, she's an attractive, she's getting into her 50s at this point, but she's still super attractive. She's kind of artsy and kind of, I, 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 I'm reticent to use the word eccentric, but has kind of an eccentric parenting style with Peter. You know,
a little bit more open.
Very open. And I wonder if they're going to flash back to Peter with her and Uncle Ben, you know, as a way to, you know, kind of set up some kind of storyline in the next Spider-Man movie or something. That'd be something I'd like to see for the future. Yeah, I just, God, I could talk just for hours about this shit. I love the fact that Tony Stark made this suit, and it is a Tony Stark joint. I mean, this suit, Tony Stark has way too much free time on his hands, or he doesn't sleep, or both. I'm not sure. Chris, do you have an opinion on this?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I mean, actually, what I was kind of reading up on and being curious about was, so being as this iteration of Spider-Man is kind of a combination of Ultimate and Miles Morales and all those characters. Now, Miles Morales had his suit made by S.H.I.E.L.D.
I believe you're correct.
Yeah. So yeah. I thought that's interesting, but they're sticking with Stark being the main power provider.
Honestly, so the fact that if there's any kind of real technology, Stark's got his mitts on it. Yeah. I mean,
he'll take your power and he'll improve it.
And maybe this is a good time to maybe segue into some things that we thought could have been done better with the film.
Okay.
I liked the spider suit. I loved it at the end of, in the, what do they call it? The tag scene in Captain America Civil War, where he's shining the webhead hologram on his ceiling. He's going, whoa, what's this? And we still don't know what that is, but it's part of this greater operating system that he has for this super suit that has its own female
AI
woven into the fabric of the costume.
Yeah. I mean, actually you could say voiced by Jennifer Connelly.
That's right. That's right.
AI
in an untitled
Spider-Man suit was a character unto itself.
She really was. And kudos to Jennifer Connelly. I mean, I thought that was neat, because I didn't see her in the credits, but I heard about that on the radio this morning.
Oh, interesting. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And just like, wow, that was Jennifer Connelly, who is the wife of Paul Bettany, who plays the Vision in Avengers. Could that mean that she becomes Jocasta in a later Marvel Sony? Uh-huh.
Oh.
Let's go deep, shall
that
we?
That gives me a nerd nosebleed.
Oh, my God. Chris, here, let me give you a napkin there. you're getting blood all over the place. But so let it be said that I love the super suit. I love the spider suit, okay?
Yes.
I love the idea, activating kill mode. No, no, I don't want to kill anybody. You know, activating interrogation mode. You will tell me.
Right.
Pray to me.
Gets the Tom Hardy voice.
Right? He was like the Christian Bale Batman there.
Right.
You will talk to me.
This is my time.
So, get out of Queens.
What do you mean I sound like a girl? He's got the stun webs. He's got the droney.
The droney?
Little spider drone.
Spider drone that just flies off his chest.
Get some reconnaissance.
He had
in.
A parachute.
Yeah, right.
He had a parachute. I mean, seriously, this is a suit James Bond would kind of get like erect nipples from.
Oh,
I mean, it was amazing.
GPS equipped. I'm sure it had Wikipedia.
I'm sure, yeah. I mean, she could probably download shit right from the dark web if Peter really wanted it. And I thought all that was cool. I like how they, you know, these genius kids, you know, him and Ned had to hack the spider suit later in the movie because he didn't like being GPS'd
followed around
by Stark. But here's just, this is a minor nerd complaint. So this is going to go into the things I don't like what the movie established.
Okay.
And that is this. I love the, okay, so it's going to be like a love-hate thing. I love the fact that Phineas Mason, the Tinkerer, is making shit out of alien technology that is equal to or better than what Tony Stark has. Okay, that
yes.
part I like, but they didn't play that up enough.
They made it seem too easy, really.
It was really too easy, like almost like using an iBook to hack an alien mothership in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Like
Jesus, ID4.
Blarg. That was what I think. That's my official review of Independence Day. if you like Independence Day, good for you.
I know there's a couple people out there.
And hey, look, God bless you. That movie
bless them.
You know what? Look, life's too short.
Okay.
If you like something, like something. But I'm also going to tell you that I think it is a bottle of cat piss. I mean, that movie...
On a warm day.
That movie is a fucking fart box. I do not like it. And but that was almost the thought that I had there. It would have been neat to address the intellect of this guy of the tinkerer, who was, as far as we knew, just a guy on this guy's salvage crew.
Yeah.
On Adrian Toomes' salvage crew. And the fact that they've pretty much established Tony Stark as the only guy, the only purveyor of super science in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it would have been neat to see if Tony Stark was growing concerned that there were other super geniuses out there.
Right.
Because let's give Toomes' guy some credit.
Okay, wait a second.
Okay, hold on.
Tony Stark's too full of himself to think, oh, there's other people out there.
That's fair. But it would have been something that Peter Parker might have thought about.
Yeah.
You know?
And he was definitely concerned with this technology getting out loose.
Right. And I thought the movie did a really good job about that, but I didn't think they established the fact that here's a guy that was making stuff that could really challenge Iron Man in a way that he, on a one-to-one basis.
Yes. Definitely surpass local police.
Oh, it just...
Yeah.
I mean, they had a disintegration gun in it.
Yes.
I mean, disintegrator gun.
Yes. And anti-gravity guns.
They had all
sorts of good stuff.
They had these little knobs that they
could... What would you call those? Dimensional portal?
What did they call it? A phase-shifting portal?
That's right.
That's right. So that you could just walk through walls and stuff like that. I mean, this is some... mind-blowing shit that they're basically making out of Chitauri explosives.
Yes. With what looked like a Radio Shack set up in the background of a warehouse.
Soldering iron and your first home repair kit from Radio Shack.
Right? Junior science experimenter.
You know, and I would have loved to have seen more from the Tinkerer, because he's a guy that I would love to see, you know, outfit future villains in the MCU. So now, that being said...
Well, yeah, I mean, the Tinkerer, didn't he help create Stiltman's armor?
I mean, we need Stiltman.
Kind
of. We kind of need Stiltman. If for anything, but for maybe John Bernthal to fire a law rocket at.
Right. You know? A little comic relief.
You know, Phineas Mason is also a guy that could make the Scorpion his suit in the next movie.
I think that's what we're going to see.
I think so, too. I think we might see a team up of the Vulture and the Scorpion. We're talking full spoilers here. I'm going to go back. Screw the format. I think this is important to say. This is one of the first Marvel Cinematic movies. No, I'll say this is the second one, because they let Baron Zemo live at the end of Captain America's Civil War.
Uh-huh.
That they let the main villain survive the end of the film.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I hadn't thought about that.
So, I mean, how about that? How about, you know, look, there's a lot of, you could go all day saying, oh, the DC universe is too dark. They kill everybody, blah, blah, blah. Batman shouldn't kill. Well, guess what? I think they have a pretty hefty body count in the Marvel Universe also.
Right.
You know, go back all the way to Obadiah Stane. Tony Stark wasn't taking any prisoners that
Crossbones.
Day.
Crossbones.
Crossbones. Fuck. That would have been easy capture.
Yeah. Let's get back to stuff we didn't like.
So my thing is that it would have been neat to really play up the Tinkerer and the threat of somebody out there in the criminal underworld like the Tinkerer.
Right.
What was something that you would have liked to have seen done maybe a little bit better in this film?
Okay, on a direction note, I'm just going to complain a tad.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the action sequences, I was a little lost in what was going on.
Fair enough.
Not as bad as a Michael Bay flick.
Oh, God.
Where there's no rule. There's no rules to the action.
The physics, fuck physics. Right. That's Michael
Directions,
Bay.
Directions, who cares?
Who cares? I mean...
This, you could see that things were going on in a certain way, going in a certain direction.
And we're not sure to say that it was...
A little bit bright and shiny.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Disorienting.
It was disorienting, and it's hard to say where it stopped with the direction, began with the editing. So I think they can kind of share the responsibility of that one. That being said, I think for a guy who's made his first multi-million dollar movie, this guy's only movie that I know of before this film was Cop Car. Did you see Cop Car?
I've never heard of Cop Car.
Cop Car is one of the worst comedies you'll ever watch, and it's also great. It's so bad, it's good kind of stuff. John Watts, I thought, made a real cogent picture here, but you're right. It was a little bit. Some of the scenes were a little jumbled.
Yes, I felt that.
In the way that it's sequentially, the order of events took place. Do you have an example of a time when that kind of really hit you? Because I feel it in general, but I don't know if I can speak to a moment.
Okay, so I would say the first fight with the Vulture.
Okay.
Spider-Man gets taken clear up into the sky, thrown into something and dropped into a lake.
Right.
And then saved by Stark. Now, for me, it was really disorienting. And in some ways, the director may have been going for that. He may have been trying to go for, hey, here, you know, Spider-Man's wrapped up in this
parachute.
I don't know what it was.
It was a parachute. Okay. It was the parachute deploying.
And thrown into a lake. And yeah. Okay, so maybe the director does want you to feel that way.
But it was abrupt.
Yes, it was a little confusing.
You know, the camera work was POV for a second, and then it'd come out and follow Spider-Man down into the water a little bit, and then be POV.
And if you think about it, the beginning part of the movie definitely has a different directing feel than the rest of the movie. Almost
right.
Like, did they have a second unit film this part, or was this more of his experimental side, the director's experimental side coming out, or what was going on? I don't know, but it's not that jarring. It's not
right.
A bad thing.
No, it wasn't terrible, but it was off-putting for a minute. That scene was weird. Now, the scene that came after that, which is Tony lecturing Peter via Wi-Fi,
yes,
from an empty suit, I thought was fantastic.
Oh yeah, it was very amusing.
That part,
and it gave you a chance to breathe, figure
yes.
out what's going on.
Yes,
catch up with the story, I guess.
Catch yeah. up with the story. I think one thing that I want to go back to. I got to gush about one more thing here.
Sure.
All the young actors in this.
Oh yeah.
I mean the high school actors, the douchebag who played Flash Thompson. No. I mean the guy who played the douchebag Flash
right,
Thompson.
Right.
Let's use the
which is kind of cool. Flash Thompson, not a typical jock.
Not a typical jock, but he was like
an academic jock.
Yeah, he was like he felt like he should have been captain of the academic decathlon. But he was also like DJ Flash.
Yes.
The
he's a derpy teenager.
I can't remember the young lady who played Liz, who we find out is Adrian Toomes, aka the Vulture's
daughter.
That
was a shocker.
That was one because
mean to bring up the Vulture.
Oh
name.
God!
Sorry.
By the way, the worst name in comics. I'm the Shocker. You know.
Just
look it up online. That's all I'm going to say.
I've always liked the Shocker as a villain, though.
Oh, as a C-list idiot villain? Yes.
Yes, I like his oven mitt face.
He could reach into anybody's oven. That's his superpower.
As a really young dork, I took a Marvel Shocker figure and converted it into Black Panther.
I remember that.
Yes.
I remember that.
A lot
that
of
turned
putty.
Out pretty good.
A lot
oh
of
man, you
paint.
You had some lines to fill on that one. I really like the young actress who played Liz, Zendaya, who's a Disney Channel star, and I guess she has had a few successful records. She's the one who played the misfit kind of too cool for school kind of girl, Michelle,
yeah,
who later goes, I like to go by MJ instead.
Okay, now that was something
that was off-putting.
Kind of made me grind my teeth a bit.
And look, for anybody who doesn't have any long-term investment in Spider-Man, let's be clear, it's not the end of the world.
No.
No, we get that. But we were talking about this as we were leaving the movie last night. Why couldn't her name have been Mary? Mari, Jane,
Mariah
Jane, Mary Jane. Why couldn't it have been Mary Jane? Why couldn't it have been Janie? Why couldn't it have been...
I guess they wanted to throw you off the, Emmy. The trail early on.
Yeah, you know, but...
Michelle Jane just doesn't ring it.
You know, or is her name Michelle Mary Jane or Mary Michelle Jane or something like that? Cool. I mean, it just would have been nice. I mean, I don't mind the colorblind casting. I thought Zendaya was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
As sort of like the outcast girl who... said she didn't give a shit about anybody, but actually really liked having friends and everything. I thought she was fantastic. To me, it was a writing thing. You know, why was the choice Michelle versus Mary? And then I like to go by MJ. I'd just be really curious as a fan. You know, I want to hear her in the next movie. You know, maybe for the next homecoming dance or whatever. You know, she glitzes herself up a little bit, and she uses that famous line, that Stan Lee line: "Face it, tiger, you hit the jackpot."
Right.
Did you notice that the tigers?
I can see her saying that sarcastically.
Face it, tiger, you hit the jackpot.
Yeah, or ironically.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Did you notice that the tigers were the mascot of the high school?
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, so I have a feeling she'll start calling him Tiger before you know it. So. But was there anything that just outright rubbed you the wrong way about this movie?
No,
it's there was, you know, nitpicky little things.
I mean, there's sometimes I'll come out of a movie and I think, oh, I would have written this a little bit differently,
right?
Or, oh, why did they go with this choice? But no, I came out thinking, hey, I enjoyed that. I didn't feel cheated.
I thought it was interesting that they choose to use the same black head box that they use for Tony Stark for the Vulture when he was communicating with Mason back at the base. He would have his mouth covered, but this way he could emote with his eyes. But it was all lit up in green, you know, Vulture right. green. And I thought it was an interesting choice. I just wonder if there's any way that they can change that in the future, you know, that... Not everything should, again, I just don't think everything super should be aped off of Tony Stark stuff.
He is a technology vulture.
Right. You know, you're right.
Taking from Stark and everyone he can get his hands on.
Carrying technology.
And I like the fact that they didn't call him the Vulture at all.
True. True. They said the Vulture guy, I think was the closest.
Oh.
I think Jon Favreau might have said that once, but no, seriously, it wasn't like, you know, the Vulture defeats Spider-Man again. News at 11.
Now, you know, Sam Raimi, I guess for the fourth movie, was planning to bring in the Vulture.
No shit.
Yes. I could just imagine that iteration going, I am the Vulture.
Da, da, da. You know, the like, Danny Elfman. Da, 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 da.
Right. But you're kind of like going, oh, yeah, that's fine. It's Sam Raimi.
Cool. Man, you know, oh, God, Sam Raimi. Those movies. I'll be honest, though. I am unapologetically in love with with Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Which is Peter just starting to go to college and him meeting Dr. Otto Octavius, because I thought Alfred Molina was so good in that movie.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a good Doc Ock.
Oh, he's so good.
And I'm not digging on Sam Raimi. It's just that he's very faithful to the original books.
I mean, sometimes shot for shot.
Yes.
I mean, when he said, I can be Spider-Man no more, and dumped his costume in the trash bin.
Right.
I mean, that was right out of the Romita Sr. panel.
Could you imagine him holding an old issue next to the camera going, we almost got that right.
He's saying to his DP, okay, I need this shot. Can you get that? Can you get that dark? Can you get that blue at the end of the alleyway? Oh, yeah, I got it, Sam. No problem. You know, we're digressing all over the place, yes. But let us be fair.
We should call this the Not On Topic podcast or something.
Not On Topic. Not. It's not a podcast. Maybe you and I, we can work in developing something like that okay. later on down the road. But look, I think we've blathered on here enough. It is now time for the moment of truth.
Ah.
Okay. So do you want to go first or should I?
Why don't you go?
Okay. So I'm not going to even try to name the reasons why I'm going to give all the webheads, but just in brief, Tom Holland is a genius young actor who gets Peter Parker better than any of the previous Peter Parkers before him, including Nicholas Hammond or any of the voice actors. Number two, the young cast made this, gave this movie a feel of that John Hughesian kind of oppressive high school environment and made great friends for Peter Parker in casting him as not as weird as all the other ones.
Right.
You know, it was a magnet school of some kind that, you know, he wasn't beset upon by jocks, you know, and you know, even though he can bench press the entire football team if they wanted to. Michael Keaton continues to be one of the best character actors in Hollywood right now. RDJ, Jon Favreau, the ties to the Marvel Universe, Chris Evans getting to work his comedy chops in this, you know, and we're not going to discuss it, but if you did not stay till after all of the credits, you need to go back. Okay, you just have to go back.
Although it's not the biggest.
It's not the biggest thing.
It's kind of cute.
But it's cute. You should see it. But I really love this movie. I felt like it, where it fell apart just a little bit for me in was, God, and I don't think this is fair, but I'm going to say it anyway. Just kind of like what I was saying about Tony Stark, where he is the only guy who can have super science. And I
yeah, where was Hank Pym?
Where is Hank Pym? You know, Pym Technologies was allegedly a giant company, excuse the pun, at one point. You know, it would be nice to see Roxxon. It'd be nice to see Pym Technologies and all these other corporate giants out there. So I felt they kind of held themselves back in a little way, you know, I feel like this movie overall did exactly what it needed to do to set up a new franchise, but at the same point, it didn't try to swing for the fences. It just wanted to deliver a friendly neighborhood superhero movie. So for that, I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 webheads.
Aha.
So it's a definite must go see. And it's unfair to compare it to the masterful Wonder Woman, which came before.
Oh, yeah, completely different.
But I have to put it on the scale with Wonder Woman and Guardians of the Galaxy. And look, you know, it being the number 3 superhero movie of the year, it's not by much. I mean, it was a hell of an outing. And people love the Spider-Man. So go see this movie. 4 out of 5. Chris, what do you think?
Okay, so for having a very lighthearted young Peter Parker as opposed to, you know, the brooding kind of older, grumpy, you know, sad Peter Parker.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see that. You know,
emo Pete.
Or even the little stupid web hand that grabbed Gwen Stacy. Oh. That was, I had to bring that up.
Blarg.
Because I hated it. Oh. Anyway, for that and for taking a C-list villain and elevating him to a good, solid, you know,
I mean,
villain with reason and a code of honor and, you know, a reason to be around for future episodes. I think he's a good, it just, everything felt really great.
It'll feel organic if Michael Keaton comes back in the sequel for this one.
Yes.
Yep.
However, I think I'm going to give it 3.5 web heads.
Okay.
And half of that web head has got the spider sense tingling.
And the other half,
the other
has
half
Peter.
Is Peter Parker. if you know your Ditko, you know.
That is perfect, man.
And the reason why I'm doing that is I'm starting to get a little bit of a superhero fatigue in general.
That's fair. I mean, we have got 2 more super giant superhero movies coming out this year. We've got Thor Ragnarok. And we've got Justice League, these 2 little movies. Now, thank God we've got about, 4 months before those 2 films come out.
Right.
4 and 5 months, respectively. So, and I think we're moving into a time in our lives where we're going to get about anywhere from 1 to 2 superhero movies, or you can even extend that to comic book movies if you put things like Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets.
Yeah, sci-fi if you put in general.
Kingsman and the Golden Circle. If you throw those comic book inspired properties in there, not just superhero movies, there's a lot of stuff being farmed out of the world of comics right now. So if anything, I would like to see the voices become more unique. You know, I liked, I like the fact that this was a superhero movie on a smaller scale.
Yes.
But I think that it also needed to work on establishing what the scale is a little bit more. So I think I like it a little bit less than Ant-Man, but not by much.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I'm comparing the two bug characters.
I think I like it a little bit more than Ant-Man.
Okay.
But not quite as much as Guardians.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And I really liked Guardians. So, you know, it's the superhero fatigue. I think it just needs to be curated. I think that Infinity War is going to come at the right time because Marvel's talking about doing some extremely new things with their franchises going forward post-Infinity War and not even calling it a phased approach to telling a story, a larger arc. So I think we've got some good things to look forward to from Marvel.
Oh, definitely.
I know Marvel and Sony are supposed to team up for at least one more movie. Mm. And as of this recording, as of this time, just this is the Thursday night, Friday and Saturday box office. Spider-Man has already made $117 million domestic.
Wow.
Not counting worldwide audience. So I think we're definitely going to get to see a Homecoming 2 or whatever they decide to call it. You know, if they don't call it Homecoming, maybe they'll, call it Spring Fling.
Oh, God. Actually, what did you think of, okay, here's another complaint.
Okay.
I'm just going to throw it
fair
in
fair enough.
Because when
we got our scores out there, you guys know what we think about this. This is the after party now.
But I remember when they were advertising for Spider-Man Homecoming.
Uh-huh.
I remember there was a lot of hate going, what's with the title Homecoming?
Right. Well, guess what? Douchebags. It's a fucking Homecoming movie.
Yeah, actually it was.
It was a goddamn Homecoming.
There is a Homecoming involved.
There was a Homecoming involved. And what was so heartbreaking about it was the fact that Peter ditched his date on Homecoming, as Peter does. Peter prioritizes his life as Spider-Man.
That's why people like Flash Thompson, because he's reliable.
He is reliable. He's always been there. He's kind of a D-bag, but he's always been there. But no, this movie, just look, 3.5 out of Chris, 4 from me. That's an average 3.75 right there. That's enough to go
see
this.
It's a solid go see it.
Go see it. Go see it on matinee. Go spend nighttime admission for it. This is a movie that you should see.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of the Spider-Man, if you're a fan of great character acting, I think Michael Keaton's performance alone is worth the draw to this film.
Yeah. Even if you're a hardcore nerd, you're not going to walk away going, they didn't get the Vulture right.
No, they got him perfect. And I mean, really, they had to work their asses off to translate all of that. I mean, look at the Vulture as Ditko. I mean, God bless Steve Ditko.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Ditko, genius, okay? But his shit don't translate unless there's a little LSD involved, okay? And
you know, he never took it.
Oh, I know. He's just weird.
Right.
Him and Jack Kirby both, never a drop of acid. But I swear, anybody who was on acid would see the image move.
Yes.
But here's the thing, is that the Vulture, as imagined by Steve Ditko, could not translate onto the screen at all. But man, did they use the visual touches, you know, from his fur-lined flight jacket,
yes,
to the beak on the helmet and
the
green eyes.
Even Keaton's makeup, his hair.
His hair going white. And, you know, him really accentuating the weathered look on his face.
Yeah, I noticed he pursed his lips quite a bit.
Yes.
Like the Ditko character. Really.
Yeah, yeah. Now this.
Thank God he didn't have the nasty teeth like the Ditko character.
Wow, that Ditko character must. I mean,
and
he
the
was
big schnoz.
He was like Aunt May if she got a hold of an Iron Man suit. I mean, back in the day. Just not Marissa Tomei Aunt May. We're talking like the previous Aunt May from the Sam Raimi movies.
And if you're an art fan, Ditko could never really draw women very well.
God. No, he couldn't. He just couldn't. Kirby, however. Mm. I think that's another podcast for another day,
yes,
my friend. So I think it's a solid go see this movie.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for Chris, I'm Jim. Chris, where can the kids find you online if they so choose?
Oh, geez. So I'm trying to get out a little Facebook page right now called Miniatures and Shit.
Really? Just, is that the name of it?
That's the name
of it. Okay, Miniatures and Shit. Look for it on Facebook.
Hopefully it'll be ready for you.
Okay, well, fantastic. And you're on Facebook, obviously, as Chris Weiler, W-I-L-E-R. I'm all over the interwebs in different places, and Adam hates that. You can find me on Twitter, at Jimmers with three M's, on Instagram, where I do post at least once a week now, so I'm defying my age by posting on Instagram, at Jimmers with five M's. Don't forget the graphic content podcast feed on Instagram. It's graphiccontent.podcast. You can also hit us up on email if you have a long missive or a project you'd like to take us have us take a look at. That is at thereal.graphiccontent@gmail.com. I lost my train of thought there for a second, Chris. And of course, I am on Facebook at Jim Mason. We also have Facebook.com/graphic podcast, which nice. Is the official Facebook home of the Graphic Content Podcast, where we put up all kinds of updates. And we just put one brief little editorial up there today saying that if you have a very large backlog at your favorite local comic book shop, maybe you should start buying it. I'm sure your local comics dealer would appreciate that.
Yes.
So check that post out. Check out all of our stuff online. And for Adam, I will say, go read a comic. And after you read that comic, listen to Graphic Content.